Hello. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I hope you all are doing well. I know it's been approximately 2 weeks since you've last heard from me, and I have a good rationale as to how that happened. And boy, is the enemy busy. I actually produced 2 weeks podcast, and they were hacked. Apparently, the material in which I shared was going to be such a jaw-dropping game changer that the enemy literally went in and deleted the entire hour and 20 minutes worth of speaking from my
and also the recording was what we did, and the recording too was what we did with the Jezebel.
Replaced it. Okay, the hacker actually replaced, he didn't just delete it, but he replaced it with an older podcast, which is pretty humorous. But in any case, I am back and I am going to reiterate what I said in both podcasts, and I want to make sure that this information reaches the right ears, so that our supporters and people around the world will see us lift the veil of things that I've endured and many other women around the world that are experiencing it. And hopefully we can bring some of this to an end. So with that said, I want to definitely welcome you guys to our global Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I always remind you guys that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor of our Father. Those of you who listen to us regularly know that we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life, as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. So I want to encourage you all to continue to support not just this podcast, but also individuals like Brother Thomas, who frequent our show and speak his truth. Support him as well as Fundraising Cup. Definitely donate if you can. They have a website, which is being remodeled. Hopefully it'll be up by next week. Keep your fingers crossed. But in the meantime, you still can donate, and you can always call the number and donate there as well.
Amen.
So with that said, oh my goodness, it felt like a mouthful. I want to welcome our dearest, dearest brother back to the show. You guys know him well. He is just amazing with how honest and open he is, and it's refreshing to have a male perspective from time to time, and he surely brings that to the table. So welcome back, our brother Thomas, back to the show. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you, Jewel. I'm glad to be back. And, you know, just looking over what we're going to be discussing in the scripture here is just amazing. And I'm going to bring this out, Jewel. I'm just going to say this. People, when I opened up my Bible to do the scripture, this page was actually perfectly folded, and I didn't do it. So God is in this scripture. It is meant to be read, and Jewel brought it to my attention because I'm usually one that's focused on sevens. But if it's Psalm 140, you take away the zero, and you've got a 14. Now, 14 is two sevens. So the two sevens are me and Jewel. And so God wants us to cover this information thoroughly together. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Today's topic is get out the way and watch God work. And so I'm going to share a lot about what's been going on with me. As Brother Thomas phrased it, I'm peeling back the onion, is what you said, Brother Thomas?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to share a bit more with you guys and delve right into the depths of my family and my experiences and shed some light, hopefully for many of you, where you can see some red flags and avoid what I've experienced. But it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas to open up with that same scripture he was excited to share with you guys, Psalm 140, and then we'll jump right in.
Certainly. I'll be glad to. So, again, this is Psalm 140. It's a song for David, and basically it's prayer for protection against the wicked. So here we go. So Psalm 140, and we're going to go from verses 1 through 13. Interesting, this is a 13. Okay. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. God, this is sounding like Antichrist. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. I said to the Lord, Thou art my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into deep pits from which they cannot rise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. Oh, my God. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous will give thanks to thy name. The upright will dwell in thy presence. Whoa.
Amen.
Jewel, very there's a lesson there that's totally from what you're doing, and I'm getting it loud and clear, but yes, those are some powerful words, especially for this day and time. That's all I can say, people. We're being persecuted. We're being tormented. Those days of torment are fixing to be very severe.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have the right armor of God on, and I mean the right armor, you're going to get it. And this is God's preparation right here. This is his story. This is his lesson. And he said, you know, they say that the Bible, the words of the Bible are timeless. And, oh, my God, this is so timeless. But, you know, I'm just seeing this scripture for basically the first time. And why this thing was creased is God's doing. And so this is giving me, it's giving me powerful words that we all are going to need to focus on. And I'm so glad that Jewel has got to her perspective, because it gives a natural feelings and emotions involved with it. And we as a country are in a turmoil, and more so than you've ever thought. If y'all been paying attention to the news lately, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And there's some things that look like they were and they're not, and there's things that look like they are not and they are. And I'm not going to deal into it because Jewel don't want me to go political. But read between the lines on that one. All right, Jewel, take it away.
Yes, thank you so much, Thomas. Thank you for sharing that powerful scripture, which I think is very applicable to what I'm going to share with all of our supporters today. And I do want to thank all of you who continue to encourage me, like Brother Thomas, to speak up and share my story. I truly hope it inspires all of you, too, to be vocal and to free yourselves from the deception, betrayal, manipulation, and just unbalanced individuals in all of our lives that, try to burden us day to day. Many of these individuals, they are like codependent and want to keep you in a poverty mindset. And it's so important that you realize what's happening and you apply some of these scriptures to your experiences. And this one really hit the nail on its head for me, why I chose it to share with you all my story of pretty much walking away from my family. And I'm going to give you just a peek into what I experienced. And basically, you know, before I relocated, my identification, my ID, driver's license, was stolen right before I decided to relocate. And I recall a family member literally trying to stop me from leaving. And I didn't piece together at that time the possibility that they may have taken that identification. But I know that they tried to call someone else to stop me at the airport. And fortunately, that person did not show up because they would have been embarrassed because I definitely was leaving. But the fact that this individual was literally losing their mind at the idea that I would no longer be under their control or within their realm for a possible setup is mind-blowing looking back in retrospect. And I had to take a leap of faith at that time and believe that our Father was guiding me away for my family's protection. And looking back, he certainly did. And I'm so glad that I listened. You know, we had podcasts before about answering the call, right, Thomas? And
If you hadn't done what you've done, we'd never been together, ever.
No. I definitely got a long-distance call from the Father, and I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I didn't put him on hold because I really did not.
That's a funny one. Put God on hold. Yeah, that would be something.
Yes,
you'd be like Jonah and the whale, honey. Watch that.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, guys, these experiences, right, allowed me to truly see these people for who they were or are in the spirit, which is very, very troubling. These individuals were narcissistic drainers that are not just willing to sacrifice, literally sacrifice, others for their lust-filled greedy game. They ultimately set out for us empaths and those that have pure loving hearts to do this to, which is very unfortunate to say the least, because I know many people like myself have given 110%. Yeah, to close ones.
Yeah, I can
right?
say that for sure. What you have for me, you took away from your children to help me, and I'll never forget it. Never.
Oh, you're welcome, Thomas. Those that know me know very well that I love hard, and I support my friends as well as my family to the best of my possible ability because I don't worship money. I know that I'm here to help and to serve the Lord and help others when they need help. And so I was fortunate enough to help Brother Thomas. That's what he's referencing when he was in need. And I reached out and I helped him And usually I don't like, Brother Thomas knows.
And unselfishly as well, Jewel. I must say, you were unselfish in that help as well. So, yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of other people would turn against it.
Yes, yes. And it was an honor that Brother Thomas, you know, came to me and knew that I would support him if I could. And I was happy that I was able to do so.
So was I. Amen.
Amen. I know I digress a bit, but the point that I was trying to make was that those of us that are pure in heart and spirit, unfortunately, we're the ones that they will choose
attack.
To sabotage and attack our reputations, our careers, and our families for mere entertainment and promotion and superficial recognition from like-minded individuals.
Right.
And, you know, they practice all kinds of vile and detestable practices with their spiritual, Masonic, and Eastern Star groups. And I'm referring specifically to my family. Under the moon, and then what they ultimately tried to do was to steal from loved ones. Anyway, I think what bothers me the most about it, and I just want to be clear, it's not all members of these groups that do this, or may even know that some do this, because I, you know, some of this stuff is on a higher level. Right, those that are just joining, or more you know, just excited to be a part of a group, may not know.
Well,
what
some are just following the lead. Some are just following the leader. You know, that they're followers.
Yeah.
They're not
leaders.
You know, and that's the thing, and that's what happens. They get misled.
It's so true. It's so true, and I'm going to. I have to have a little disclaimer before I get into the rest of this, because I'm sure there are some decent members in the group. But the problem here lies when you join something that you have to give your full allegiance to over God is very problematic, right? Because I can say I have met some good ones, right? And the problem is that even with the good ones that I have met, if it was brought to their attention that their members were trying to kill me and chose me as a sacrifice, even though these good ones know that it's the wrong thing to do, that I was innocent and I shouldn't do that just to steal inheritance.
Yeah.
The fact that they made this blood oath kind of, what would you call it?
Worship?
This worship connection, whatever you choose to use. The fact is they have to turn a blind eye. They cannot speak up and do the right thing, which is absolutely appalling.
They have no conscience. In my opinion, Jill, they have no conscience. None.
Well, the thing is, and it reminds me of even when Jesus was getting persecuted and people stood around and did nothing. Well,
exactly.
For me, they are just as guilty as the ones who put
they
them
did
up
the crime.
Right?
Yeah.
Because by doing nothing, you are in agreement with those doing
well,
the wrong thing.
Exactly. Jill, do you remember what, and I'm sorry to instill this in here, but it's a little bit to go with the Bible. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter?
Yes.
Do you remember what he said? He said, you will deny me three times this night.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was a little perturbed with people because they could not sit up with him. That they were so sleepy, and you know that because he wanted comfort, because he knew which was coming. And and he didn't really want to face it alone, but he was forced to. And so then he kind of did some retribution, and he was saying, basically, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, Lord, I never will. And and he said, was it three times before the cock crows, I think? And so after the third time, I think Peter really realized that what he had done, because people had come to him and said, do you know this man? No, I don't. Are you sure you don't know this man? We thought that you traveled with him or whatever. I never knew him. Whoa. Mm-hmm. And then what was heard? The cock crowed. And so Peter basically was brought to his knees because he realized that, you know, he didn't think that he would ever do that kind of denial, betrayal of Jesus, but he did. He surely did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm finished. I'll let you follow.
No, thank you definitely for that reference point, because that's a good thing about the scripture, guys, is that there's nothing new under the sun. And what I'm telling you, you'll definitely find examples of it that's happened in scripture, and it's happening again. And, by the grace of God, a few of us are able to live through it, while others, unfortunately, have not. And those that have a calling on our lives to speak up and let law enforcement, unsuspecting, innocent people know what's happening to protect yourselves. This is what we have to do. We can't just go through it, take a deep breath, and say, oh, thank God I'm alive, and then act like it didn't happen. No.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I'm thinking something else, but go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. We have to really delve in and find the courage to say,
yes,
you know, this is what these individuals tried to do. They tried to murder me, you know, and not be ashamed and be vocal enough to share it with you guys, so that you guys can see some of the telltale signs, and protect yourselves and so forth. And the thing that I think troubled me the most, Brother Thomas, or made it very challenging for me to speak up, was the fact that
they were willing.
Well, one, I thought they did love me because I genuinely loved them and supported them throughout their lives in various ways. But on a deeper level is that they were even willing to attack my innocent children for laughs and thrills, hoping to keep me unbalanced by constantly worrying about them, which takes this to a whole nother level of sinister
cruelty.
And cruelty, which I just you know, even to this day, it's very difficult for me to understand. But, I'll still share with you guys what went down. But, these individuals, when they join these groups, to rise to the top, to have the sense of power or safety in numbers, you have to understand these people are willing to sacrifice their own children.
Oh yeah.
And then those that don't sacrifice their children pass down this behavior and practice to their next generation. So it's just worse one way or the other. It's just toxicity that's not leaving generational lives.
It breeds toxicity, breeds toxicity.
Oh, my gosh. And it's so hard to imagine that these very same people that you may have once celebrated with are now digging in graveyard for dirt.
So,
right?
Jill, didn't y'all grow up in the same house, actually? You're all under the same roof, basically, right?
Some of these individuals I've grown up with in the same house, some of them, you know, I've visited regularly as a young child, you know, on weekends.
So you let down your guard with these people because you thought you could.
Oh, absolutely. Completely down. And that's where they get you the most, because you would least expect, if I had to make a list of individuals I least expected to partake in.
And they're exactly the ones. They're exactly the ones.
To harm me. My top five were the top five, you know, which is mind-blowing, right? But that's what it was. And, you know, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I recall running to one family member's home when I was becoming so overwhelmed by the mental attacks alone, the spiritual and mental attacks that they were throwing a rock and hiding their hand. And when I went to this family member's home, I remember thinking, okay, I'm finally going to have a decent night's rest, because where I reside, they were constantly throwing this foul-smelling substance in front of my home. And, you know, now I'm going to have one night of just relaxation.
Peace.
Right? Because that, my friend, is worth more than any job or anything you can possibly try to attain. And so I recall I took my kids, and I'm eager to get this piece. And the next morning I woke up, and there was all of this graveyard dirt thrown on me during the time that I was sleeping.
And literally, graveyard dirt,
literally,
people. This wasn't figuratively. This is literally.
And then when I got up and went into their kitchen, the same substance that was thrown in front of my home was thrown in their kitchen. And it took my mind on a loop, because I was just like, wait a minute. This is familiar to me, and why is it here in your house as opposed to outside your house, and why is this dirt on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was at this time that you're
forced
to...
Did they trample it in, Jewel? Is that what it was? It was on the floor?
You know, I wanted to believe that, Brother Thomas. You know, it's funny how you can... try to force yourself to believe what you want yourself to believe, right?
Right. You want to see the good.
Best case scenario is
you want to see the good. Yeah.
You put all these thoughts in your own head and say, well, maybe I trampled it in here from my home. But then how come I didn't smell it before I went to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you start asking yourself, there's no possible way that these close ones would be involved in this, would be doing this firsthand to me, and have me thinking that I'm being attacked from random strangers that they are more than likely bribing. That, to me, would be far-fetched, right? Because these are my top five people that I would run to for protection. So that was one of my biggest eye-opening experiences to eventually have to accept that these individuals weren't going to serve my highest good. They were, in fact, looking to cash in on an inheritance and willing to do whatever to whomever, even if that means my children not having their mama.
Well, they sold their souls to the devil, Jewel. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? We don't want to believe that our close ones would make such decisions. But it's happening, and it's happening more than we think. And, you know, it's amazing to realize how much jealousy and envy can make people turn into demons right in front of you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Just the mere thought of you having more than them right?
The haves and the have nots.
Here you are, a total innocent person, just, you know, living your life, raising your kids, and boom, somebody leaves you something. You have no clue, right? But you become the talk of the town because the executor tells this one and that one. They're like, there's no way that person's going to get that. Not under my watch. I'm going to do whatever I can to, you know, to stop that from happening. And they come up with a plan. And the plan is, well, you know, I have some Masonic connections. And the other's like, well, I have some Eastern Star connections. And they're like, oh, well, I'm sure if we, you know, offer a few dollars here and there, some things could be changed and rearranged. And boom, we can, you know, swindle this from right under
the
table.
It all has to do with money. All has to do with money.
Which is why they say it's the root, because the fact that that would even cross your mind, and you
it don't cross mine.
People.
I'm not going to do somebody in for a few dollars. That ain't right.
The length and the extremes in which these individuals would go and agree, because they're like, well, in order for us to fully take it, we would have to make this person insane. And so we will do things in a corrupt manner, bribe others into group mobbing and gang stalking and all of this. I mean, to go through all of this, right? Because to break someone down, even mentally, to me is just so insane. It's so insane, but people...
Well, it's also hard work, Jewel. My goodness, I bet they've never worked that hard before.
It's a lot to invest in financially. It's and it doesn't stop at the finances, because they also are investing spiritually, which I'm going to tap into, you know, in a few minutes of what it takes to invest in a project like that spiritually. But the greed in their souls rile up something that's so unnatural that they are prepared to do the devil's bidding with their blood oaths until that craving is filled.
Because they feel like the devil has got their back and the devil will give them their just reward. And that's it.
That's so surreal to me. So surreal, because it's something that I just honestly could not imagine someone even presenting to me as an option. It's not that deep for me. It's like, oh, they left them that. Well, you know, they're lucky. They're blessed. Just for them. And then it's a double bonus if they're a good person and would probably share, you know. But for me to say I must destroy them by any means necessary, they shouldn't be allowed to breathe another breath on the earth because I want it. That is truly insane. It's beyond demonic. And the fact that for some, success means to them to keep another person down, to keep their foot on someone else's neck.
Amen.
Simply because they don't want this person to be more abundant than them. It's so unnecessary.
Right?
Even if they
even countries do that, Jewel. Even countries do it. You know, one person.
It's gone too far. And I know we had a podcast before, Brother Thomas, about crabs in a barrel mentality. And this is it. This is it, is that, you know, someone in your family has an opportunity to rise, and all of the crabs are reaching out the bowl to pull the one person out that can possibly bless the entire family. That's so ridiculous. So absolutely ridiculous. But this is the day and age that we're living in. And those of us
Dog eat dog.
Those of us that live according to God's will and purpose understand that what God has set aside for us has nothing to do with anyone else.
No.
Do you hear me, guys? Nothing. We aren't comparing, destroying, or doing any of that, just patiently waiting our turn. This is
right.
What God-fearing people are doing, right?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
trust God. We do not take things into our own hands.
Right.
We definitely don't think that we have the power to choose who should live and die for
right.
what ultimately belongs to someone else.
Right.
It's really clear, cut, and dry.
Mm-hmm.
However, those that are consumed in jealousy and envy in their spirit need to get and have everything first to feel
yep.
validated. And they
well,
are
the
never
devil promises
happy.
Them. Devil promises them that glory, you know, and they fall for it. And then when, you know, it doesn't come their way, then the devil quickly says, hey, you didn't do it right. I told you. I told you. See there, you just weren't good enough. And that's just so wrong. But that's why they put their emphasis on the devil when they should be putting their emphasis on God. If they would just wake up and say, God is my truth, and, you know, I'm going to go God's way, not that way, then that's what happens.
But the thing is, Thomas, these individuals are never, ever happy.
I know.
If you
no,
look
they're
at
not.
Them, no matter how much, and we talked about this, you know, on a side call, Thomas, where we joke around about these people chasing the next carrot. And instead of it being like
yeah.
a jackass chasing a carrot, they're chasing the diamond. That carrot.
You maybe need to explain
like
that a little bit, Jewel, because let me explain. You may because you know a jackass basically is a beast of burden. You know, think about that. Mm-hmm. So a beast of burden, basically, you know, they're hooked up to this harness, right? And basically,
mm-hmm.
what they use the beast for was to grind the corn or whatever, the wheat or whatever. And so, you know, this was like a mechanical thing. And the way that they got it to be done is they tied a carrot on a stick and it was just out of reach of the poor little donkey. Okay. And so this poor little donkey would go round and around and around and around chasing that little stick, chasing that little carrot. And he never got it. He never got it. But then, you know, his task was done, and he was that was his burden, see? That was his beast of burden. So it's sad, but you exactly right, Jewel. Like you said, these people are chasing those carrots. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if they simply just focused on what is right in front of them, they would
yeah.
clearly see the enemy's greatest pitfall and the traps that are already set for the greedy.
Yes.
And when they make these promises, these allegiances, these prayers, so-called
yeah.
prayers to Satan that they can't
mm-hmm.
keep, that's when they start panicking, right? When
yeah.
they offer up different family members as sacrifices and so forth, it when it doesn't come to pass, they start sacrificing because they're like, well, what are we going to do now when it's time to collect?
Right.
Because they made promises. And
yeah.
Satan isn't really forgiving as our father. He just wants
no.
what's his, right? Because that's the mentality that these narcissists had picked up from who they serve. You just
yeah.
want it right now. Point blank, you don't care who it affects, how it affects their lives. You put it before everyone
yeah.
else. Right?
Yeah,
like
you have to have it,
way.
No cause. I mean, anybody who gets killed can be died
That's
for
right.
their cause.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at that point that they realize that this deep, corrupt collaboration, promising death and expecting to cash in on it, even with multiple insurance policies,
yeah.
Has now... the tables have turned, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? And so
yeah.
now those wishes, those prayers are now on their backs, and they're now running from the same prayers they put out on other people.
Yes.
Sickness and...
What goes around comes around. What goes around comes around.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it's all for what, Thomas? All for what, Brother Thomas?
Greed. Greed. It's greed.
You know, only Only time.
They want what's on the other side of that fence, Jewel. They want the green pasture on the other side of that fence when they ought to be satisfied with what they have. Because God gave them natural talents, okay? All of us have natural talents and have abilities and have a mind.
Yes.
He gave us a mind to discern. But the thing of it is, we're too damn, we're too darn lazy to realize, you know, we need to do some stuff in our lives, and we need to turn from our wicked ways, and we need to follow God. And we don't want to. We don't want to, We want to have the gold, and we want to have the riches, and we want to have the ultimate, you know, reward here on earth. But that's not what God promised. He said if we will humble ourselves and realize that Jesus paid the price for our sins, that we'll get the riches in heaven. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I just want to emphasize that only time will tell whose hands were in these corrupt pots of dark magic
and all
of the
judgment
stuff
day.
Into. Because, you know, over time you'll start to see people get sick and people dealing with the energy that they put out on other innocent people. Because the thing about, and I'm going to go off topic just for a little bit, but the thing about corruption and crime and just the mentality, right, of the individuals involved in those kind of things.
Yeah,
is that
it's a cancer. It's a cancer that's growing, Jewel.
It is very cancerous to our society, because the thing is, like all criminals, when they get away with things, and they find the loopholes in systems, and they realize, oh my goodness, you know, we have power in numbers. We can practice under this moon and do all this stuff, and then you know, point fingers at the victim that we're victimizing and say that's the evil person over there, and then get more people on board to slander, steal, do all this stuff.
You know what, Jewel? I just thought of something. I think God just gave this to me. He says, "I think when devil puts this in our minds, you know, those that are really committed to the devil, he almost plants it in our minds that we have, if you want to know what I'm saying, Christ-like envy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because, you know, when we're thinking that we're doing all these things, that we're getting to be so almighty and so powerful that we can even be walking in Jesus' footsteps? Really?
That's very dangerous. A very dangerous mindset. That unfortunately a lot of narcissists
have. Well, that's delusion. That's delusion. See, that's the devil painting this delusion, right? Say, you know what?
Yes.
You've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that. And see, you're better than Jesus. You see, because Jesus was so simple, you know, and people just don't like simple. They like, you know, this determination, this drive, whatever, this driving force. And so that is basically you're saying that when you do these things, see, you're going to get all these accolades and these rewards and all this, you know, praise. And see, I gave it to you. The devil's saying, I gave it to you. Right, devil. Right.
Yes.
Nope.
But the thing is, I'm going to even dig a little bit deeper on that, Thomas, is that people become so delusional.
Yeah.
I got to emphasize delusional about their...
They're out of their minds.
The power they think they have on this earth to believe, no, I'm just going to take something away from someone because I think I deserve it more because of how I look. Because of how old I am, because of my complexion, because of where I live. Because they create all of these delusions in their minds and convince themselves that they are entitled to things that God would never select them for.
And can I interject something with that one, Justin Finnis? So this has to go back to people, if y'all remember Judas, okay, and who mm-hmm. Judas was, one of Jesus' disciples, but he's the one like the dark child, basically. And what he was basically delusional in the fact that he thought that his power was in the purse. And mm-hmm. basically he had all the monies. And so he thought with this that this was giving him his victory in life. And so when Jesus would go forward and he would go out of the plan, and that's not what Judas was trying to direct. In other words, Judas was power hungry. He really was. Mm-hmm. And so what he wanted to do was basically say, hey, Lord, you know, I got what you're doing, and you've got all the following, and we want to go to this town versus that town because there's more money in this town than that town. But you don't want to follow these things. So he literally was basically upset with Jesus. And he basically said, he's not listening to me type of thing. And so, you know, the powers that be kind of like tweaked his little ear and they said, hey, Judas, you're being mistreated, aren't you? Now, this is the devil talking. Remember this. Because Judas had been a disciple and he was a follower of Jesus. And so this is what I'm saying, people. You can be followers of Jesus and still be swayed. Okay? And so this mm-hmm. is what happened with Judas. And they went to him and basically all they said, hey, look here now. You've been mistreated and you've been abused because, you know, he really needs to appreciate the job that you're doing. And he's not doing that now, is he? And so, you know, this was feeding into Judas's ego. And I think ego has a lot to do with things too as well, Jewel. So this ego basically, you know, they were just talking in his ear, and of course it was the devil. And he was saying, Hey, look here now. He's done you wrong, and it's his time to kind of go by the wayside, because he's not doing what these people want done. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're saying, hey, he ain't who we thought he was, and he's leading these people astray, and basically I'm going to lose my job, okay, because the priests and the Sadducees were going to be losing their jobs, because, hello, if you have Jesus preaching, and he's saying, people, all you have to do is pray to God. You don't need an intermediary, okay? You don't need that third person. So these priests and Sadducees are saying, whoa, this is going to change everything. Mm-hmm. So they basically said to Judas, we will pay you 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ. Now, what does he want to done with that? Well, they said the Romans who will be the ones, because we don't want to be guilty. No, it's not going to look like we did this, right? It's a plotting. You know, it's an overthrow. It's what it is. And so what they decided to do was they would say, okay, we're going to get the Romans involved. And they said, okay, you know, because this is a king that's possibly going to be threatening their king, and Pilate is not going to put up with it. So he simply said, okay, here's what we're going to do. So with this pieces of silver, this is your payment. You go and you give Jesus a kiss on the cheek. Wow. So when he did that, he thought, well, that's a simple task, right? Judas thought, hey, that's pretty good. I get 30 pieces of silver, and all I have to do is give Jesus a peck on the cheek. Mm-hmm. Well, okay then. But then what did Jesus say to Judas? He said, Judas, you betray me with a kiss? Mm-hmm. Really? You know, and if you realize in the Lord's Supper, Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. He said, yes. Whoever was the last one to dip their bread in the cup will be the one who will betray me. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and he couldn't face it. So this is what I'm getting at. When you do this deception, when you do these outward things that you know are not godly, they're not Jesus-like at all, a lot of people can't face it. Just like Judas, he couldn't face seeing his Jesus die on the cross. He never thought that was going to be the case. He simply thought that they were not going to kill him, that they would just, you know, make him like, you know, hey, we need to have a little talk with you, and this, you know, you're going to get tried, whatever, with the court.
Yeah.
And but then you'll turn from this way that you're going, and we'll get you in the right direction. He never, ever thought that it was going to end up with Jesus paying for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't deal with it. He could not deal with it. And this is what's happening, and I'm sure it's going to happen with other people, and it has with other people in the past. When they have gone bought into the things of the devil, okay, the lies, the deception, all this evilness, and then when the final thing comes, where are they? What have they done? What have they sacrificed? They realize they've given their life for what? What is going to be their reward? Burning in the lake of fire, perhaps, because if they have gone so evil, there's no way they're going to enter heaven. No way. No way.
No. And I want to build a little bit on that with just my personal experience of people who were very, very close to me that betrayed me. And, you know, those of you that
they probably even did it with a kiss, too, Jewel. Did they give you a kiss on the cheek?
That's what I was going to add. It wasn't with just a kiss. It was, you know, these people were at celebrations with me, my 40th, big events, some of the closest people that you would never even think about were actually key investors in trying to harm and set me up. And you have to ask yourself at some point, who has access to your personal garbage, right? Who has access to your hair?
Whom else, Lord? Whom else are you going to send my way?
Right? If you, I mean, and this is something very personal that I found for myself. I'm going to share with you guys that I found that I've had to purchase new undergarments almost every 3 weeks. And
that's weird.
It's time for me to take inventory and say the same thing. So, like, this is weird. Where are they going? Why do I keep on having to party stuff? And then I'm observing these family members. All of a sudden, they're traveling overseas. They're going to Jamaica. They're going to Haiti. They're going to Dominican Republic, Caribbean Islands, Africa. And, you know, I'm, you know, still at home and struggling with my kids and not piecing together that these items are being taken. And even carrying photos of you to these spiritual practitioners to affect you mentally, right? People are becoming
well also even your silent. Even your ID, Jewel. Even your ID.
Yeah.
Remember your birth certificate.
It, you know, it was by the grace of God I had, you know, a secondary ID. And God knows, I can't emphasize how many times God kind of makes himself known and has an inside chuckle, because there's a little side story with my ID that when I first got the original ID, they actually put the wrong text on my ID. And I was just like, why would they do that? That's so weird. So I went back and they corrected it and gave me a second one. And so I said, do you guys want the first one back? And they were like, no, just, you know, just keep it. That was God working through that person, because I needed that second ID in order to escape the plan of the enemy stealing the ID. That's what saved me, right? That person was an angel in disguise, and I didn't know it at that time. That's how God works. Right? So that's a little side story for you guys of how God is always, has a footprint in saving your life.
The little things. Remember, like you just told me to before, on the side, the little things mean the most, and they should mean the most to you people.
Yes.
Not big things, not big sacrifices, little bitty ones.
Yes. And you know, as I mentioned, you know, these family members of mine were traveling overseas and into all sorts of practices affecting finances, and they've gone as far as placing poison in my food, hoping to affect my love life, even my actual life, my children on this earth, for that matter, and for the right price. You'd be surprised how many restaurant owners and other people would be willing to do it.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could really, like I said, it's a mental attack on you too, where, you know, you may not even want to eat out anymore because you
right.
don't know who would take a bribe.
Yeah.
To poison
pizza
right?
parlor, even a pizza parlor.
Mm-hmm. Even the local mom and pop you would never expect would take it under the table if they could, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most critically, you know, I don't know if you guys have family members in your lives that are part of these religious organizations, but. You know, if they were longtime members and they are, I just want to
say that
they are committed and they have allegiances where they can get to harass you, you know, to gang stalk, illegally surveil, hack, make noise campaigns, and even try to provoke you into confrontational disagreements. You know, it's very disturbing that these groups are teaching their members how to steal in the most vile ways from innocent and unsuspecting individuals.
And do it in such a deceptive way.
And also how to use spirituality as well as in the physical, the gang robbing techniques.
What God is trying to teach us here is that, you know, even your preachers and your priests and everything, they can be bought.
Forget it.
They can be bought.
If you can't trust the people you were raised with, then how are you going to trust a preacher or anyone else for that matter that just has a man-made title? That means nothing.
Right.
That means nothing. And that's what we're finding, you know, as we're getting closer to the end, guys, that, you know, people that have
we thought were something, we're not something. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have these expectations that, oh, definitely this person right here is going to stand for something and they're going to really, you know, put their foot down and not allow this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They fold like lawn chicks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jill, and is it not true that, and I think there's wasn't there a TV show about this? House of Cards?
Yes.
And I think that's what we're living in right now is a House of Cards. You know, the House of Cards is so fragile. It really is. And any little gust of wind can and demolish it, right? And are we not in those winds of change right now, in winds of war?
We are not.
So are we not, if not our house, and what I mean by house, okay, is not a physical house. Does everyone know what the house is? Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's you. It's you. Yeah. It's your inner house. And see, when Jesus came back, from the dead when he was, you know, resurrected. You know, they said, well, sir, we want to know where the temple is. And he tells his disciples, I think he also told Mary and them too, he says, I am the temple. I am. So we need to look in our inner selves. And so we are very fragile. We are fragile individuals. And if we don't put on the full armor of God when we're facing this evil, we could be that house of cards. We could be blown away.
You are absolutely right.
It's so true. It's so true. Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to them a little bit more about this evil because these lessons that I've experienced, you're not going to get in your local churches. Guys,
oh heck no! No, you won't. Because nine times out of ten, Jill, the preacher is guilty of it. Shoot, I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
That's a valid point. You know, when I talk to you guys about you know, the attack spiritually, I want to be clear that they are using forbidden black magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Jill, I don't know. I don't know if you heard in the news what just happened the other day. It's happened in Dallas, Texas. The First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, which was Pastor Jeffries. If y'all know who that was, that's the one who did the prayer breakfast for Trump. And basically, he basically was, you know, saying that how good, you know, things were going, and he was so appreciative of what, you know, the life had given him. Well, guess what? That man no longer has his church. It burned to the ground.
Wow.
Burned to the ground. So, you know, there's a man who wrapped his holy robes around him, and we've known many preachers that have done that. Joel Osteen, he's another one. Oh, my God. But you see, that's the thing. They may have started out in the right direction, Jewel, you know, but they somehow lost their way. And the money became more important than saving lives, saving spiritual lives. And that's what happened. The endorsements of these pastors for these political leaders or whatever, where is that endorsement coming from? What was the promise if they did do the endorsement? You see, there's always a promise made. Does Jesus do that?
No.
Does Jesus say, if we do this, we'll get this? No. He just wants us to live according to Jesus, until what God wants us to live according to what Jesus' lives are. Simple. Compassion. Love. What's that noise?
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't get distracted. I'm helping my little one. Keep talking. Uh-huh.
Double tasking, people. You know, we've all done it. But simply, it is this fact, you know, that even the so-called spiritual ones can be devils in disguise. And that blows people away. Seriously, it does. But that's when God wants you to use your discernment, your inner thinking. And if you've let Jesus in your heart, listen to that small voice. That small voice is telling you, watch out. For what you see is not what you're going to get. Okay? And so, but here's the silver lining. If we could say a silver lining in the darkness. Even in the 11th hour, Jewel, these people can have the ability to turn from their evil ways. All they need to do is focus back on Jesus. You know that? And he will be so quick to say, come back into the fold. You're welcome. Because I want you. I want you to know I love you. God loves every single human being. Every single one. Now, who he don't like is the devil. And that's the fact, Jack. He don't. But every human being that's here on this earth, God put them here on this earth. Okay? And God wants us to be his children. To be followers of Christ. And if we will do that and turn from our evil ways, we will have that victory in heaven. Amen, amen.
Amen. Because even sometimes myself, Thomas, I wonder how come my father can give so many chances to
I know.
These people.
And you want to wring his neck. You just want to wring their necks, you know. You say, why? Why should we give him another chance, you know?
They clearly have no regard for other people's lives, and yet our Father still finds mercy and gives them one more chance. He uses others to try to bring them to him, and they still continue to believe that they have this power that supersedes his.
It's when they start taking over and thinking they're better than God. Now, that's where we stand right now, and that's why God is pissed, because he's given them how many chances? And he has. And he finally said, enough is enough, people. I have told you to turn from your evil ways. That's what, you know, Jonah had to do why he ran from God, and he ended up in a whale. And, you know, he said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to Nineveh. But God said, you need to go to Nineveh. These people need to have their one last chance. Okay? And that's just something about God. He gives us one last chance. Amazing. And he could just throw the brick at us, right? Really good. And say, I'm done with you, you know. But no, he gave these people in Nineveh one last chance. And so Jonah came to his senses, and he said, okay, I'll get up there and I'll preach to him. And I said, look, people, you've got 40 days to get your act together. If you don't get your act together, he's going to destroy you. It's just it's going to be gone. Well, what did these people do? What happened? They were destroyed. So this is where we stand today, in the choice of goodness and in evil. Realize this. Evil is short-lived. It is. Because ultimately, when you live by God, when you live and have Jesus in your heart, you'll know, your eyes will be open. You will see what God is. God is love. The devil, he has no love. He has no compassion. Nothing. And you really feel sorry for the people that have bought into it. Jewel, do you not feel sorry for your family members who have actually bought into this evilness?
To some degree. I do.
I know, it's hard. I know, but when you ultimately see that they've been deceived. But, you know, they're chasing the carrot, right? I mean, the beast of burden, they keep going around and around and around, and they're never going to get to the end. They're never going to get that success.
No.
They're never.
For me, Thomas, the biggest thing is accountability and them being accountable for their deed. Don't point the finger at the religious group because they didn't make you greedy. You were greedy. And so you have to be the man in the mirror or woman.
Right. It's an individual. Like you said, it's an individual choice. That is the truth. Because even those that were the followers of Satan, they had a choice.
Yeah. I mean, the group may give you the resources. They may be able to give you the numbers to tag team and the assistance. But at the end of the day, the root of the problem is you.
Yeah.
Right? You.
Because you lay your head on that pillow every night, okay? When you wake up, when you go to sleep at night, you lay your head on that pillow. Then you have to realize what you did that day. Why did you do it? You know? And you get up the next morning, and then you have to face the reality of what you did. And so that becomes a burden. It does.
Yeah.
And so then you're looking for, absolution?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. And so we're looking for someone to say, hey, you know what? You didn't do so bad. Right. If you're following the devil each and every day and you're living the devil way every day, well, I'm sorry. You know, that's your choice. And so God said he gives us an ultimate choice. You know, that's what free will is all about, Jewel. Free will. And what you're saying in the scripture here, what it's all about is how you turn from wickedness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is an inward choice. An inward choice. So either we get up every day and we keep playing the game and we keep being deceptive and we keep being, you know, hurting people and going that way, or we turn from it. We can go down that wrong path and see it's wrong and turn around and start living the life that Jesus wants us to be. Very simple.
Yeah.
But if we don't, then God says, hey, I gave you your how many chances? And he's saying, Babylon, I gave you your chances. And you have not turned from your wicked ways. And in fact, even now, you are so much more blasphemous than you ever were. And I'm telling you, Jewel, we are seeing that in this day and time. I shudder to think how someone could actually just downright spit on Jesus' feet. Can you believe that? I mean, it's like all the things that God has given us in this world. And we want to say, hey, I don't need you. You know?
No.
I've got the devil in me. Oh, yeah, I've got the devil in me. Oh, God. I don't see how they do it. I can't do that. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. But there are others that do.
But you know what, Thomas, because I'm looking at the time, and you guys know when Brother Thomas and I get to talking, we go straight into overtime.
Are we overtime again, Jill? And are we overtime?
We're way overtime. But I promised you guys today that I was going to lift the veil and share with you some hidden secrets, so what they refer to as senior level secrets in a lot of these groups, why people flock to them and hope to use these secrets to have power over other people. And, you know, I don't mind sharing with you guys what I learned through experiences, and you guys take it with you and learn how to protect yourselves. And one of the things that I want to share with you that these individuals are using in order to steal, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, God gave us all gifts, and you yeah. know, those that aren't as gifted as others decide to delve into dark, forbidden magic to take what they want. And,
yeah.
and some of these practices include astro projecting into people's dreams. And sometimes you dream and you think, oh, I'm thinking about this person. It must be God that wants me to reach out to the person, not realizing that they're using magic to astro project into your dream. And sometimes in the dream state, they may try to offer you something to eat, which I highly, highly suggest you refuse and take control in the dream. And I know that's not easy, because a lot of times we just let the dream
go with the flow.
Go with the flow, yep. right? That's what we typically do. But these people are violating our spiritual space and our
yeah.
peace with the
yeah.
Called secret knowledge
Amen.
Things. And so I wanted
yeah.
to just prepare you guys and warn you and let you know that they use that, and they even use love spells and put stuff in your food, whether it be all kind of personal body thing.
Or they try to get in your personal space, Jewel. You know, not just the food
yeah.
thing, but they try to get in your personal space, and they try to mess with your mind.
Yeah. And
mess
also,
with your mind.
That's what the goal is, right? Because if you're unbalanced because of someone else's manipulation spiritually,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, they don't talk to us about this in the churches, and there's so much power
mm-hmm.
in our We always talk about this power in our words, right? So we have
mm-hmm.
to be careful.
Power in the blood. Power in the blood.
And
yep.
That's what I was going to lead into next, which is why it's often put in your food. And so there's a lot of power in our blood, and we have to be careful and mindful of people that cook for us and so forth. These are lessons I have to learn.
Well, what I was referring to that, Jill, what I was referring to that was power in the blood. I don't know if you've ever heard the song.
You weren't going there, but you just so happened to tap on something that needed to be addressed. I was glad
yeah.
you did before
the
I got
power,
there.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, and that's what we're trying to say, and that's what God's trying to say. The power is in the blood of the Lamb. He shed his blood on the cross for us. So
yeah.
if people would see the ultimate power is the power of the Lamb instead of the power of the devil would not be successful. And eventually he's not going to be. And just like all these people that are turning against you and doing these things and persecuting you, Jewel, and all these things that's going on, realize this, they're chasing a false god.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yes. Yes. And you know, I have we're going to follow up with another podcast where I'm going to talk a lot more, because I know I gave you guys an earful of things that, you know, happened to me and you know, how to prepare yourself and see if you're possibly being attacked which is, you know, I'm thankful to God that he uses me this way. I know I was initially very hesitant to speak on my life experiences because I'm so protectful of my children now. And knowing that they attack children, that also put me on guard even more. But however, you know, when you get a calling, the thing about our Father is that when you get a calling, even when you don't want to do what he wants you to do,
you get thrown in a whale.
Yeah, and you might end up having to do it all over again, which explains this second recording of the podcast. So you better get up and just do it the right way the first time.
Amen.
So I just want to, you know, again, remind you guys to be careful out there and to pay attention to those that are closest to you because jealousy is really an ugly thing. And I know a lot of you, if you're anything like me, you're eager to want to celebrate with anyone. Well, not anyone, but those closest to you.
Family, of course.
Those that know me well know I love to throw a good party, right? I throw lavish 40ths, and I love to travel. and I would want close people around me to enjoy these celebrations, and I love to create sentimental gifts to give to my guests.
Make it a lasting moment. A lasting moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm just very sentimental like that. And I like to have long lasting memories of things.
And they can care less.
In their minds, they're like, how does she have the extra money to give a gift like this?
Right.
Which is unfortunate because I really wanted to build on that relationship and the memories.
Yeah,
and all
you wanted them you wanted them to experience what you were feeling.
Yes,
that's it in the long. And they didn't care about your feelings. They didn't care.
Absolutely, Brother Thomas. And you know, this is unfortunately this is what it is. And I've had to learn some very tough lessons, but the good news is that I'm alive to teach them.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So I embrace that in the process. And, you know, in the next podcast, I'm going to give you guys more advice on how to deal with the attacks and things that I've done and I've learned from because I know we've
put on the shield. Put on the shield.
We're going to talk more about the shield and dealing with vast RICO crimes. But in the meantime, I want you guys to just be vigilant, right? And kind of keep in mind when you're going through these terrible experiences and wondering why would people do such things to innocent people, realize that it's probably the ones closest to you that you would never suspect funding and planning.
I think, Jill, what one thing that you need to say to everyone that's listening, that when you have these thoughts in your mind, take it to God in prayer. Because that's where we are today. Our nation is not a nation of prayer. In fact, you know, it's mentioned this happened, this was going to be in Revelations, and it's already happened, people. Do you know that they don't even want us praying? They don't even want us reading scripture? This is... My God, I mean, how can we have turned to this? But we have, because now they're thinking, oh, it's part of being anti-Semitic, and I'm going, say what? So now we can't, you know, they took prayer out of schools, and that was a big mistake. Hello, I'm telling you, it was a big mistake. Because God, when you said that prayer, and Jill, do you remember when you used to say the prayer in school? When you were growing up? And, you know, basically what we were doing, and the teacher was having us do this, we were blessing the day. A day of learning. We were blessing it. But when we started and we started saying, oh, that's interfering with those that are the, you know, they're the ones that are not the agnostics or they're the Muslims or whatever, we're infringing on them. No, we're not. God is prayer. God loves prayer and God blesses prayer. So when you have these thoughts in your mind, take it to God in prayer. God has the solution. You know, we can turn to man. We can turn to psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, therapists, whatever. But they're only going to give you a humanistic approach. Right, Jewel? So when we turn to God in prayer, God's going to give us the answers. Now, realize this. It may not be the answers that we were hoping for. But in the long run, they are the answers that God needed for us to come around and see. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. So with that said, you know, I want to leave you guys encouraged because I know I hit you guys with a lot of heavy stuff today. And along with that scripture, I want you guys to be encouraged that our Father sees the works of the evil men and women.
Amen.
And we have the authority through his writings and words to ask him to intervene and call judgment on our behalf, which is what this scripture was pretty much doing, right? Asking the Lord to...
He's the one who can take on the burden, Jewel. And when we feel like that we've just had enough, I mean, we have just at our wit's end or whatever, God just says, well, hey, I'm right here. Won't you let me help you? You know? And if we would just swallow our pride, and that's a lot of it's a pride thing, and realize that we are not, you know, invincible and that we are not all-knowing and all-powerful and we have weaknesses. Ain't nothing wrong with it because God don't expect us to have all power, all knowledge. He don't. He simply says, hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm here for you each and every day, 24/7. I'm here. And so all you have to do is reach out to me in prayer. Let me do what you say. Let go, let God. And how did you say it, Jill, in your lesson? What was your first thing you said? It was different the way you phrased it. How did you say it?
The title of this is to get out the way and watch God work.
There you go. There you go. Get out of the way, people. And I say this. It all goes back to my belief prayer and I say this, I say, Lord, I want you to have control of my day. Now, that's a bold statement. But I'm telling you something, if you turn loose, let him have it, you don't have to worry about nothing. I mean, the worst things possible can come your way. But if you have the faith of that little mustard seed, and realize this, a faith of a mustard seed, just think how tiny that is. So that's not much faith, really. But God says he'll move a mountain. So if you feel like you're overburdened or you've got so much on your plate, and Jill, I think you've said this many times, I have too many things on my plate, that we simply, that we simply need to say, woo-hoo, God, hey, you know, I want you to have my day. And I'm going to get out of the way. That's the way we need to be. And just trust in him. In other words, my prayer also says trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now, what did I say? Happy in Jesus. Would we all like to be happy in Jesus? Yeah, we would. So we got to, and how do we get there, Jewel? How do we get to be happy in Jesus? How?
You tell him, Thomas. You tell him.
Trust and obey. So powerful. So we have to obey God's commandments. Amen. And we have to trust that whatever God says goes. And we have to be willing to get out of the way. Let him do his work. Amen.
Amen. And I want to close out with a powerful word of wisdom that was once shared with me, and it really hit home after what I endured, and that is oftentimes the information that comes in to break your heart will fix your vision.
Oh, yeah.
So I share that with you guys because it hit.
Repeat that one more time, Jill. That's powerful. Yeah.
Oftentimes, the information that comes in to break your heart will fix your vision.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Those of us that love hard sometimes don't see the truth. And when you are compelled to finally see it, your heart may be broken.
Oh, yeah.
Are clearer than ever.
There are going to be a lot of broken hearts. There surely are going to be a lot of broken hearts.
So, you know, my heart goes out to you guys that have to come to terms with the reality similar to what I've endured. Hopefully you won't, you know. Hopefully, I hope it's not as...
You wouldn't wish it on nobody, Jill. You wouldn't wish it on nobody, that's for sure.
I wouldn't. And that's why I say sometimes that saying hurt people is a cop-out for me because some of us got hurt and we didn't hurt anyone else. You know, there's a bunch out there and we turned that hurt into something more powerful like a podcast to speak against.
Yes, you've got a voice. Jill, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to praise you right now, okay? Here's a praise. So I'm going to say to you right now, you are so much a better person for what you've endured and what you have realized, what you've realized, and you have gotten out of the way and let go, let God. So that's what we have to, that's something, you know, and I'll say this, Jill, by you peeling back the onion, okay, we're seeing a different side of you than we ever thought was there. And this is true in our lives, people. You know, we want to hold everything in. You know, we want to kind of, that's our control is holding everything in. We're not going to let this out. You know, I'm going to be strong and I'm not going to show weakness. What's wrong with that picture? Is everybody so all being all strong? They're not. So God says, hey, am I not the all strength here? Am I not the all seeing being here? Why don't you just let me deal with what I know is right? And let God have control of your life. It's that simple. That simple.
Yes. Yes. Brother Thomas is so right. So, you know, I hope that little nugget helps some of you as you go through whatever it is you guys may be going through with your own loved ones. And, you know, I do want to say this. I do want to say this to the religious groups that I mentioned, both Masonic and the Eastern Stars, because I know, you know, there are some, again, I mentioned that are not doing this wickedness.
No.
But there are.
There's some goodness, right. Yes.
Unfortunately, there are many that can just pick up a phone and say, hey, we have this blood oath tie. I need you to do this thing for me.
Right.
I know you work in the court, or I know you're the chief of police, or I know you're whatever. How can you chip in torturing an individual to get what it is that I want? We could split this pot. For the good ones, for the leaders of this group, I challenge you, right? If this is something that you guys do not endorse or stand for in any way, and you just have a couple of members and sectors that are going rogue and power hungry, and it's gotten to their hearts and minds. You know, I challenge you guys to step up. Step up and stop it.
Peel back the onion, Jill. Peel back the onion. They need to do that. They do.
Those of you that are the leaders that have the power to lay down whatever laws in your group to cease any further attacks on people's finances, on their lives,
yeah.
on their spiritual growth, I challenge you today to stop it.
Yeah.
Because I really do want to hope that there are people on top that are not endorsing what some of these rogue people are doing at the bottom. Okay, that is my belief. Again, I keep throwing it out there that I don't believe it's all, and I'm hoping that the leaders know better and are doing better. So that is my challenge to them that I am putting forth today out in the open. And hopefully we can put an end to a lot of these RICO crimes and save more women and children's lives, Brother Thomas.
Right.
You know, which is the most important thing. And, you know, this was a tough one because it was really close to home for me. And, you know, some of us were kind of pushed into our calling. I say I was thrusted. I was thrusted with all of this. And so, you know, like our, I always quote this former President Roosevelt where he says to speak softly and carry a big stick, because I believe that is precisely what I do. But I also carry a sword in the spirit realm. So keep that in mind.
You've gotten a voice lately, Jewel. Your voice has gotten a little bit more like a, yeah, we know. Which it needs to be. That's part of that putting on that full armor of God. You know, we've got to stand up for our rights, stand up for our principles. Don't let people dictate to you. Don't let people determine what your life is going to be. Your life is your own as long as you are living it in Jesus' way. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I want to emphasize, as I close, that we God-fearing people were not placed here to be sacrifices for any false gods, for any level-ups, initiations, or blood oaths into organizations.
Right.
May you all take in this wisdom and apply it to your lives and save your families.
Amen.
I love you all. But not more than our Father loves you.
Amen.
Thank you again for supporting this podcast, Brother Thomas, myself, and FundraisingCup.org Ministries. Remember to get out of the way and watch God work.
Amen.
I also want to share some quick commentary from the last podcast, Facing.
Oh, really? I want to hear those. Oh,
Jezebel
cool.
and Unclean Spirits. Spiritual Vita said, thank you, Jewel. Many heavenly blessings to you. You're welcome, Spiritual Vita. You always inspire me with your messages, your personal messages you send me about spiritual growth. And I've taken that with me on the journey into this podcast. So thank you for sharing. Shankar Manar said that he is waiting for a podcast regarding the peace of all religions.
Ooh.
And that would be a lovely podcast, to be honest with you, Brother Shankar. You know, the thing is, after today's podcast and talk about, you know, just stark opposite religions, but, those that believe in the Most High God, I think we can at least start there, right? And just like Brother Thomas said today, then we can peel away at the differences. But
You know, Jill, with a Muslim, it's Allah, but Allah is God.
Yes.
So even though they might phrase it differently, there is an ultimate being, And these people who have all these religions connected together, ultimately what it is, there is a final say, okay? There's a person there who has the final say. So I think they're all basically are all the same. Really, we are.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we can find some common denominators there in everything we do cherish, and saving lives should definitely be high on the list.
Oh, I already won.
Sacrificing them.
Yes.
Reverend Cor Freeman said, "Jewel, you are absolutely correct. The enemy is always trying to squeeze our faith out of us. He just squeezing us to the point where we are worn out. This was an awesome topic and an awesome episode. Keep up the good work." Thank you, Reverend Freeman.
We like those. We like comments. Yes.
We do. We do. We love them.
Especially when it's from a reverend. Oh, my goodness. It means a lot. It means a lot. Because we're not Bible scholars at all. I mean, we're not. I mean, we're simple people here. Very simple.
Yes. And I want to encourage you guys all to check out his podcast. He has a podcast as well from a reverend perspective, which is always great to have that strong biblical background in giving the word. So definitely check him out. And always thank you so much, Mr. Freeman, for supporting our podcast. It really means a lot. Sando McKetty said, "Good evening, Jewel. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for your prayer. I highly appreciate it." So, yeah, we did have a prayer in that podcast. And I'm glad when it really touches you guys. You know, I try to get the prayers in, but sometimes the podcast will just shut down on me because we go so far overtime. But that time we were able to get a prayer in. Amen. And for those of you today, I would really like you to reflect on that psalm. If you want to take a prayer from this podcast, definitely take that Psalm 140 and recite it over and let it meditate on your heart.
Especially for today's time, what's happening today and tomorrow. Use that scripture. It's going to be very important.
Amen.
Very important.
So, I want to thank Brother Thomas for joining us today on this podcast again.
Enjoyed it,
and,
as usual.
Hopefully, we will see some changes from this podcast, and we
can
share the next podcast, which builds off of this one, with you guys very shortly. But as you can see, you know, we're heavy hitters, and we're not tiptoeing around what's happening. So definitely stay tuned and continue to comment and tell us how you feel about what we're sharing. Okay?
Yeah.
God bless and take care. Bye-bye.
Woo-hoo! Did you end it?